I mean, I think we take it a step further. The separation, violent separation, destruction of the black family was the genesis of Jim Crow, its predecessor and its successor. What he missed black history. He missed the entire the entire semester, the entire year. Like, everyone who knows anything about black history knows that the destruction of the black family was the whole underlying power of Jim Crow. So the notion that we were stronger, it's insane.
Yeah. All right. So,
and I'm not even getting to the talk about voting, because, you know, part of the statement was that blacks voted more conservatively during Jim Crow. They have more conservative philosophy. That was the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever heard. Number one, Jim Crow began immediately after slavery. Black women couldn't vote at all. It's not a matter of voting more conservatively. When you think about a conservative vote, if you think about public education in America, public education in America and throughout the South came about because of the black legislatures that were in place following Reconstruction. What are the Republicans doing right now? They're trying to take it all apart. So how is that consistent with what he said about the philosophy of conservatism being part of the black experience from that point of view? It's not there. It's just completely inaccurate. I don't know what audience he's playing to, but it's certainly not to the audience of those that are educated. That is clear.
But and it's dangerous, people. You know, this kind of pandering that you see by him and Tim Scott and others, this pandering by trying to pretend not only that there's no racism presently, but now they're going to go back and try to sanitize Jim Crow. I mean, this pandering is, their white masters is just disgusting. And it is something that we cannot not criticize. I've seen them go on TV and said, those weren't my words. But what does it, everybody, I want to read you his words. Okay?
I watched him. I heard them come out of his mouth. Like,
right.
I
and let me read them. It's, he said, you see, during Jim Crow, the black family was together. Okay? Then he says, during Jim Crow, look, he had to use Jim Crow each time. He didn't say just during this century or these years. He says, during Jim Crow, more black people were not just conservative, black people have always been conservative-minded, but more black people voted conservatively. Who can vote? Who can vote? Who could vote? What black people could vote? This is just so absurd, folks. Don't allow people to just lie to your faces. You know, learn to, we got to have backbone. We got to be able to stand up to people who betray our own history, betray our foreparents. Maceo Snipes, they killed him, lynched him in Georgia for voting. Come on now. Let's talk about, you know, what it took to get all the martyrs, all the dead people, and what it took to even get the Voting Rights Act of 1965. This is not just his misspeaking. This is an absolute betrayal. Daryl, you know I'm on fire. I just can't stand it.
They gave him a script and he read it. That's the scary thing.
They gave him a script and he read it.
Diana, I think Diana is exactly right. And, you know, what I keep thinking is, he's playing to an audience mostly of one. He's trying to suck up to Donald Trump, but also Donald Trump's minions. These are the neo-Nazis, the Proud Boys, all of those people that Donald Trump, you know, considers his people. He's playing to that. And, you know, it's just remarkable to me that the other thing he's doing is, how do I put this? Earlier we were talking about the attacks on the Fearless Fund. That attack to me is white people being so fragile, they can't tolerate any thought of honest and fair competition with anyone who isn't white. Right. They have this. They're terrified of it. And the country was founded on white supremacy. Sorry to say, we were founded on all these ideals as expressed in writing, you know, for equality and democracy. And yet the actual people doing the writing were themselves enslavers. So this country has, you know, a lot to answer for. But I think, you know, a bedrock of white supremacy is fear and resentment. And that is what. This member of Congress, right? He's not just from Florida. He's a member of Congress from Florida, and he is validating white people's fear and resentment. He is sort of starting from that point and talking about it. The other thing that I think is really, to me, that really strikes me, and I've seen this done in other contexts as well, he is assuming that black voters are really, really as stupid as he is. Right. And I don't think that's a good assumption. The vast majority of black voters know very well that during Jim Crow, you had convict leasing. That was a specific strategy to tear apart black families, right?
Yeah.
You removed black men from families. You had lynching, again, a specific terrorist regime against black men to tear apart black families. And black people know that that people in Jim Crow, under Jim Crow, could not vote. So he's saying these things, and he's really saying them as if he thinks that the black voters are just dumb. And that's a big mistake. That is a huge mistake.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one other thing we can't forget, everybody. Once again, we always talk about, you know, books that people should read. Douglas Blackman's Slavery by Another Name. Because one thing Jim Crow did in the post-slavery era was, in the post-Reconstruction era in particular, was to enslave black men, principally, but black women too, through these criminal proceedings where they were putting so many of our people in prison and in jail.
Right.
So because they needed their labor, they were so accustomed to getting that free labor, and they wanted free labor, so they put black folks in jail for, quote, loitering, for not having, quote, ID on them, for looking insubordinate. I mean, any kind of thing they could think of, and they used that labor to what? To build the railroad in the United States, in the South. They used that labor to rebuild the economy of the South into more of an industrial economy. Come on, folks. You know, we got to know our history, because we are certainly bound to repeat it. Now, the Transformative Justice Coalition, we don't just sit back and fuss. We don't just sit back and talk about what's wrong. But we take action, don't we, Daryl? And we got some things coming up in the future that we need everybody to be engaged and involved in. Daryl, do you want to tell people about some of these events?
Oh, absolutely, Barbara. You know, on June the 24th, we're going to be holding an incredible Teletown Hall. Want to be certain that you get a hold of it. We're going to be discussing the Alexander case. We're going to be discussing Project 2025. We're going to be discussing many of the issues that you've heard us discussing this afternoon on this show. And you can join us on this at the Teletown Hall by going following us on Facebook. We'll be on Facebook. You'll be able to get it through Facebook as well as through YouTube. In addition to that, July the 17th, on the anniversary, the fourth commemoration of the death of John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis, we're going to be holding candlelight vigils and actions, all around activations all across the country. So we encourage you to go to @TJC_DC or TJCoalition.org, and you can find out more information on both of these activities. Barbara, we have so much more going on. I know you want to lift up some of the other things.
Yes, and I want to come back to July 17th and let everybody know that on June 13th, this Thursday, we're having an organizing call for anybody. If you're saying, oh, John Lewis, I want to make sure that there is an action, a rally, a luncheon, a whatever, a, you know, some event where we can come together and say we stand for what he stands for. We're going to finish the job of passing new federal legislation, the federal, you know, what we call the Freedom to Vote Act, the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, the Native American Voting Rights Act, and the very, very needed D.C. Statehood Admission Act. We're going to do these things, people, and we need you to show up and say, I want to be part of that. And then that night, we're going to all go out and light up the skies with our candles. And yes, we're going to have those little plastic candles or real candles, depending on who you are. And we're going to light up the sky and say that we reaffirm our commitment to doing what all these courts are trying to stop us from doing, what all of these conservative legislatures are trying to stop us from doing, what all of these evil, wicked, lying people like Donald's and others are trying to stop us from doing, and that is to really achieve a free, open, inclusive, just, multiracial democracy. We're not going to stop until that's a fact. So join us on Thursday. You're saying, where do I get information? You can go to mobilize.com and look for John Lewis Day of Action. You're going to find all that information there. You can also go to our website, tjcoalition.org, and sign up, get our newsletters, be involved. Let's make sure that we do the change that must be, because we want our children to live free. We don't want to live in a society where black women can't even give money to other black women to be entrepreneurs. Can you imagine this? How horrific their
gotta
business
is. Got to be certain that we stay involved. Got to be certain that we stay involved.
Yes. So, Daryl, take us home. And thanks to our guests. Amazing. Thank you so much, Diane Wilkerson. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
Terry O'Neill. Thank you so much, Daryl Jones. As Daryl loves to say, get off those sidewalks, get off the fence, get into the streets, get involved. And until next Tuesday, when we come again, peace, everybody. Peace.
The preceding program was paid for by Barbara Online.
Here at Urban One, we pride ourselves on supporting local and national black-owned businesses throughout all of our radio markets. Since we began our Buy Black campaign, we like to spotlight some familiar and unfamiliar businesses in our communities. From arts and crafts, restaurants, clothing and apparel, heating, technology, electrical. One thing is true, black folks have a business for everything you need, want, or could imagine. So let's show some love to all local and national black-owned businesses, because when you spend money with the black-owned business, you are helping your community as well as helping yourself. The businesses for this week are Sip and Development, sipanddevelopment.com, Harbor Bank, theharborbank.com, Lee's Flower Shop, leesflowerandcard.com. Thank you.
News Talk 1450 and 95.9 WOL with The Carl Nelson Show. Weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Reverend Al Sharpton keeping it real from 1 to 4 p.m. And The Tavis Smiley Show from 4 to 7 p.m. Download our mobile app and take us everywhere you are, or listen live at WOLDCnews.com. The news and issues that matter to you most, from Carl Nelson, Reverend Al Sharpton, and Tavis Smiley on 1450 and 95.9 WOL. WOL Washington, D.C. W240DJ Washington. 95.9 WMMJ HD3 Bethesda. WKYS HD3 Washington. WPRS HD3 Waldorf and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.